Hello and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy here with Pat, and today is Monday, October 5th, 2020.
Bitcoin is trading at 10,764, up about 1%. ETH is trading at 353, up less than 1%.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. Bitwave is a digital asset management platform that does DeFi investment monitoring, token tax tracking, gain loss reporting, and more. You can check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. All right, up first, John McAfee was arrested and sued for shilling ICOs. The DOJ has charged him with tax evasion, and the SEC is suing him for allegedly taking home $21 million from ICOs.
Yeah. McAfee's awesome. let's see here. So this is overlaying a few stories that we talk about a lot. So this is securities fraud, which has been a hot topic since the BitMEX executives last week. This is overlaying wild price predictions, which you guys know I love and we'll be getting into later today as well. And then this is overlaying, crazy international flights to fugitives. So, McAfee's been involved in the crypto scene for a very long time. I think his biggest failing on this is he hasn't really been involved as an actual technologist. That's sort of the interesting part of it. He obviously has a bit of a technology, I guess he has a little bit of the gravitas, because literally everybody associates his name with the antivirus. So he certainly is known for technology, but he's never really worked on a project. He's certainly not an engineer himself. Not at least modern technology. And so he's always just kind of been a shill in the world. He used to be a huge supporter of Bitcoin. That's kind of changed. He's been promoting other projects more recently. I think that the story here is probably the biggest story here is that the SEC is getting more serious about going after people that are breaking securities laws. And this is actually interesting because this crossed borders. I mean, getting an American arrested in a foreign country and extradited is never a particularly easy task. It takes a lot of coordination. So that's certainly interesting. He's obviously a nut. I think the probably most interesting part of all this was that his indictment and then the extradition pleads that I think they're putting out right now all include his predictions and his promise to eat his male genitalia on TV if the price of Bitcoin did not hit a certain price after in 2021, we're actually in the court proceedings. So that's pretty funny. gotta say that's pretty funny.
What a nut. But yeah, so yeah. Specifically some of the charges were that he did not disclose that he was selling or being paid for the ICOs he was promoting. And
tax fraud. The biggest one is that he does not believe, and he has not believed for quite some time now, that he needs to pay U.S. taxes. Usually the U.S. government does not agree with that stance. I'd say it's a pretty solid assumption the U.S. government will never. And the U.S. government assumes that, you are still up to a certain point required to pay U.S. taxes, even if you're a U.S. citizen, even if you're living somewhere else in the world. So I guarantee he's not paying taxes. I guess that he's not paying taxes. I would estimate that he probably didn't pay taxes on a lot of the ICOs that he was pushing out. Don't mess with taxes in the U.S. Right. That's rule number one.
And crypto taxes are very difficult. And if you need any help, check out our wonderful sponsor, Bitwave. That is what they do. All right. Next. So last week, BitGo announced that they were auditing their wrapped Bitcoin with Chainlink's proof of reserve. And then today, Ren as well announced that they would be using Chainlink to audit.
Yeah, this is the biggest non-story. I mean, essentially, Chainlink is the DeFi darling. And don't get me wrong, it's a really cool company. They're doing really cool stuff. But like, this is a complete BS set of things. There's absolutely no reason for the for Chainlink verifiers to be verifying the amount of for the wrapped Bitcoin. At the end of the day, there's a website. So for WBTC wrapped Bitcoin, you can literally go to a website, see the address they hold the Bitcoin in, and go and check it yourself. Like, see the addresses they're holding the Bitcoin in and check it yourself. There's absolutely no value gained by doing this. The and that's even saying one other thing. The reason this is such a BS, the reason that this upsets me because it's such BS is that there's no additional security provided to anybody around this. Like, this would give you the ability if the Ren, so Ren was in the news 2 weeks ago because it turned out that there was like a one multisig wallet shared with like four dudes that has all $100 million worth of Bitcoin on it. So like those guys decide to up and go to Monaco. Now let's go somewhere more remote, the Maldives, and disappear with all that money. Having Chainlink validating that does exactly one thing, which is then everyone knows all the money's gone, but doesn't actually provide any security. So this is like a complete non-story. It's just like Ren and BitGo trying to cash in on Chainlink's name and how Chainlink is sort of part of this part, like a deep part of the DeFi ecosystem right now.
Interesting. All right. So front running.
Yeah, we talked about this a little last week, and we wanted to kind of get back into it because last week we talked about front running in general. This idea that on Ethereum, I can post a transaction, someone else can see that transaction, see that it is withdrawing money and, it's not tied to my account or something. And then a miner could potentially, or anyone really could potentially submit that same transaction with additional gas so that their transaction gets included, but not mine. So what's really interesting about this is that this is exploitable for DEXs. So DEXs are, the underpinnings of all DeFi at this point, one of the major parts of it all. So a DEX, essentially, especially these automatic market makers like Balancer and Uniswap, SushiSwap, all the ones that are forks of Uniswap, the way they work is that I submit a swap request. That's kind of what you're doing. You're saying, hey, I want to swap one Ethereum for 10 unis. When that happens, the action of doing that changes the price. That's really important because the way that the automatic market makers work is they use a formula to figure out what the price should be based on the supply and demand, basically between the two sides of their pools. So Uniswap wants to see 50% value in each side of the pool. So at Uniswap, you have two tokens that sit in a pool. You have Ethereum and Uni. They want the value, or their assumption is the value is 50-50 within that pool. So when I make a trade, if I swap in Uni and swap out ETH, then that means that there is more Uni and less ETH, and so the value has changed. And so then the price of the respective price changes. So what people can do is they can attack that, is that when they see my transaction get submitted, they can submit a transaction before it that will vastly skew the price, causing my transaction to swap at a much lower rate than I was expecting. And then they can trade that back on the other side, moving the price back. So essentially they've screwed me out of a bunch of money, but they themselves, within one transaction, like within one block, they don't have to do this in multiple transactions. They do this in one block. Within one block, they have made money. It's essentially like a point in time arbitrage. So that's why, the long story short here is always, always, always set a slippage rate that is reasonable. Do not assume that slippage is not going to happen. Slippage is happening literally all the time. People, you can watch people using front running to make money on the blockchain right now. Like, you can go and look at Uniswap contracts and see it happening right now. And a lot of it is when people don't correctly set their slippage rates. So set tight slippage rates, be very cognizant of the numbers. When you go to Uniswap and do a trade, be very cognizant of the numbers they tell you of how much the price is going to drift, because that is exploitable if you are allowing too much drift on the actual trade. And that's what I want to do. This is a PSA. Be very careful when you're using AMMs to correctly set all the parameters that they're expecting you to set.
Great. And speaking of DEXs, the DEX volume for September rose 103%. So things are coming up, and a record of $23.6 billion.
Super exciting. Yeah, DeFi's eating the world.
Yep. All right. I think that'll do it for today.
Yep, we're out of time.
All right. Well, thanks as always for listening to the DeFi Daily. Have a good one.
Have a good one. Bye.